A bill to help reform the Postal Service and put it back on solid fiscal ground is expected soon. Senior members of the House Government Reform Committee say the reforms would address the mandate for pre-funding retiree health benefits. That's been consistently putting the Postal Service in the red. We get more now from Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. And Meredith, tell us about this bill, because this is something, this pre-funding that they have been trying to get at, it seems like year after year.
We don't know too much about this draft version of the bill quite yet, but Jason Chaffetz, the chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, said he anticipates a version of it pretty soon. One of the things this bill would address is that pre-funding mandate that Congress imposed on the Postal Service in 2006. The Postal Service is the only agency that's expected to fulfill this requirement. And to date, the Postal Service has paid about $18 billion into that fund. That's according to the GAO, but it's missed about $28 billion in payments already.
So the law has been in place and it's not even complying because it doesn't have the cash to, and yet the compliance that it has had has caused it to lose money quarter after quarter.
Yes. The reason for this is that in the last decade, the Postal Service has seen a huge drop in mail volume and thus revenue. Postmaster General Megan Brennan said during her testimony that mail volume has declined about 27% between fiscal 2007 and 2015. And first class mail, which is the agency's most profitable product, has declined about 35%. Internet inventions like Amazon have helped to keep the package mail going, but Brennan said that the volume would need to increase by 249% to make up for the first-class mail loss in revenue.
That sounds like a pretty high fence. What is the Postal Service's plan, or do they have a plan to address that issue of falling first class and the need for more package?
That's what Brennan came to Capitol Hill to testify about. Here she is talking with the Oversight Committee about some of the challenges of her agency and the reform package that she needs Congress's help with to address those issues.
Without legislative and regulatory reform, our net losses will continue to grow, regardless of our ongoing efforts to grow revenue and improve operational efficiencies. If allowed to continue, this will have a devastating impact on the future of the organization and the customers we serve. Over the past year, we have been working with postal stakeholders to identify key reforms capable of achieving broad support and which would return the Postal Service to financial stability. The legislation we are seeking reflects the results of these discussions and includes the following four provisions: require full Medicare integration for postal retiree health plans, restore our exigent price increase for market-dominant products, calculate all retirement benefit liabilities using postal-specific salary growth and demographic assumptions, and provide additional product flexibility. By enacting legislation that includes these provisions, the Postal Service can achieve an estimated $32 billion in combined cost reductions and new revenue over the next 5 years. Medicare integration is the most important of the legislative provisions we recommend. As the second largest contributor to Medicare, our proposal allows the Postal Service and our employees to fully utilize the benefits for which we have already paid. We are also seeking to restore the exigent rate increase as a permanent part of our rate base. In April, the Postal Service was required by the PRC to eliminate the exigent surcharge and to reduce our prices. This will reduce our revenues this year by $1 billion and by approximately $2 billion annually, further worsening our financial condition. Reinstating the exigent surcharge is critical to the Postal Service's financial stability.
So you can hear from Brennan's reforms and this draft bill that's supposed to be introduced. They do have a few things in common.
She certainly sounded prepared. So what did members of the committee have to say about all of these proposals that she came to them with?
Overall, members agreed something needs to be done to address the financial problems of the Postal Service. But what exactly opinions differed? Here's Ranking Member Elijah Cummings asking Lori Rectanis, who is with the GAO, about what should be done.
Do you agree that in order to be financially viable, long term, it's important for the Postal Service to develop innovative products and services?
We do support the Postal Service's continued ability to be innovative and develop products and resources that people need. The challenge that you run is trying to find that sweet spot between areas in which the Postal Service will be profitable, since they can't afford to lose money, but you don't want them to be able to compete unfairly because of their unique status, or conversely lose money because of their unique status.
And so you end up in a no spot. You know, it's kind of hard. On the one hand, we want them to be able to bring in more money, but then we tie their hands and shackle their feet and say, we don't want you to do this and don't want you to do that. So what do you recommend that they do?
Like the congressman and Rectanis said, it is hard to find that balance between being financially afloat without overstepping the bounds of the Postal Service's unique status. Jessica Lawrence, Executive Vice President for the Association for Postal Commerce, also defended the Postal Service's cost-cutting initiatives, but she stopped short of saying there was nothing more that the Postal Service could do to improve its situation. She said there are additional things USPS could look at rather than layoffs, including working more with industry. Congressman Jody Heiss suggested that perhaps the agency needs to look at itself more like an industry. I'll listen to this exchange between Heiss and Brennan.
Does the Postal Service have too many employees?
We have a requirement, our universal service obligation, to deliver it at all 155 million delivery points, 135 million of which are physical delivery points. The other 20 are post office boxes. So that requires an extensive network, and that network includes employees, facilities, vehicles, and equipment.
I understand that, but is it top-heavy? Do we have too many employees?
I would say that we consistently look at how to rebalance and where there are opportunities. And if you look at the reduction in overall complement, we've reduced more than 168,000 employees over the last decade.
Okay, so we have 634,000 employees. We have a declining business, but you don't think we have too many employees still?
Asking the Postal Service to think like a private company is like asking an apple to be an orange, at least according to Frederick Rolando, the president of the National Association of Letter Carriers.
If we were a private company, we wouldn't have $50 billion of resources tied up in a fund for 75 years into the future. It would certainly affect the standards. It would affect service. It would affect rates. It would affect vehicles. It would affect infrastructure. It would affect all kinds of things. So I think the takeaway from all of this is we're not allowed in that way to act like a private company. We do have to pre-fund. There's no appetite in Congress for us not to pre-fund. So that's why we've put together this coalition to find a way to satisfy that mandate. We've come up with a way to do it. And moving on from then we can act as a private company or as a postal service in a rational and efficient manner moving forward.
All right, so the president of the Postal Carriers Union, the people that use the Postal Service, their association, the Postal Service, and Congress all agree that reforms are needed in one form or another. Meredith, what happens now?
We wait for this legislation to drop. The Senate already has some kind of reform in the works. Tom Carper from Delaware introduced a bill in September that would create a new health benefits program specifically for postal employees and annuitants and require those eligible to enroll in Medicare. He said in a statement that he hoped the dialogue from the House committee hearing bears fruit and everybody can work together to get this reform going.
Federal News Radio is Meredith Summers. Thanks so much for that update.
Thanks, Tom.
You can share this interview with a colleague, also read her story at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive, and click share with friends.